Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy, unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey everyone, today I'm joined with my friend Vicky Button. She's all the way in Australia, so it's 6 o'clock my time, I think around 8 or 9 o'clock her time. And guys, she's been on the podcast a couple times. She's had a near-death experience. She's had so many things happen to her in the last, year? And she's remembering things, and I had to have her back. Vicky, welcome to the show.
I'd love to be back. Lovely to hear from you.
Oh, listen, you are one of my favorites, and my listeners absolutely love your stories, and they really resonate with you. And you're kind of a no-nonsense person. I love that. You don't embellish anything. You just tell it like it is. So can you kind of tell my listeners what happened during your near death and then some of the things you're starting to remember, and we'll just kind of go from there?
Sure can. Just before I had my near-death experience, I was already doing psychic work. Okay. Some people think maybe it developed after my near-death experience, but no, I already had the abilities and I already had a perception. Okay. You know how you read what other psychics have been through, or you read books, and it kind of it sits in your belief system. Mm-hmm. So I already had that. I had a belief system about what I thought the afterlife was like, you know, what things were like, what happened when you died. So in 2020, it happened because I took a Disprin for a headache and didn't know that I was allergic to Disprin, and I had anaphylactic reaction, stopped breathing.
Yes.
And an ambulance got called, and long story short, I ended up in emergency. Mm. They didn't know what was wrong, so I just had no air going and I just wasn't breathing.
Wow.
And at some point during that, I was in the hospital for, 12 hours. At some point, I left my body and I knew I had died.
Wow.
But it's not a feeling of, you don't feel like you're dead because you're still alive. Mm. And I think the greatest thing I came back with was we don't die.
Yes.
We just don't die. We just transition into something different.
Right, because our consciousness goes on, right? I mean, it's like the energy of us is still there. It's, your body may not be responding. Obviously, that's just the vessel here in our 3D world, but your mind still goes. You still felt like Vicky, right?
Yes, I was still Vicky, but I was also part of something a lot bigger. And I tell the story of, when I was out of my body, I was standing next to the doctor and I knew everything about him. Like, obviously in life, I've never met the man, but my consciousness knew his consciousness. And within a split second, I knew his whole life story and why he was here on earth. Same thing happened when I moved to the nurse. So it cemented in me that we actually are all one. We are all connected and we know what other souls experience.
Yeah, because guys, she's been on the podcast before and she's like, I knew why the doctor was a doctor. I knew how many kids he had. I knew he was married. I knew blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what in the world? And she goes, oh, I just knew. I mean, it was just knowledge. It wasn't like, I had to listen and see. No, it just was a download maybe, right?
Yes, exactly what it felt like.
Wow.
It's also interesting when people that we've loved have passed, they can then know everything about our life and stuff that they wouldn't have known when they're alive.
Mm-hmm.
So with your mum, obviously you were close with your mum and you knew your mum very well. Your mum knew you very well, but there's still things in your mind that you would have thought about that your mum would never have known about.
Sure.
When she passes, she knows it, but she doesn't judge it. So when she's alive, she may have judged it, what you were thinking, what you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
She may have had a judgment because humans are judgmental, but when she's passed, her soul has no judgment for you. She just totally understands all your reasoning for why you do what you do and how you think how you think.
Yeah, it's so true. So when you were in the other realm and you said you weren't even like in the clouds, you were like in the room with everybody. So you knew like your kids were there.
My kids weren't there. I was with my kids, but we're in five different places.
Okay, yes.
No one came to me. I had the ability as an energy form to be with everybody.
Wow.
At the same time, I felt the energy of my five children, but they all were at that time of day. They were all in different places.
Wow. It's almost like you were, let's be honest, it was almost like you were like God. God can be everywhere. And I think we're all parts of God experiencing itself, don't you think?
It is. I say sometimes it's like the air around you.
Mm.
Look at the air around you. You can't see it. It's all around you, but you can't see it. And you breathe it in, so it's inside you. You breathe it out, and it's outside of you. It moves. It's always moving. If you can kind of get it in your mind, that's what energy is like. It's in you. It's outside of you. It's always moving. It's everywhere, but you don't see it.
Great analogy. And you said when you were there, you went to the maybe Akashic Records. Is that where you, a Hall of Knowledge? Is that where you went?
I called it the Room of Knowledge. Some people call it the Akashic Records. Okay. I didn't get that word. I just got the spiritual being that took me referred to it as a Room of Knowledge. Well, it wasn't even a room. It was just this vastness, but maybe that was my interpretation. Sure. Maybe it felt like I was in a room.
Yeah.
So while I was there, that's when this, it was a male energy who I just trusted to follow. And he showed me a book, just handed me a book. I put my hands around the book and I knew everything that was in the book. And he was telling me that every single existence that has ever been on this earth has a book, like a record.
Wow.
So you can just hold it and know everything in it without reading it. You just know it. And he also was, I know I was standing in the middle of this space and there was all this information being downloaded into me. And I also know that I was told you won't remember it all when you come back, but it'll slowly keep unfolding.
And that's what's happening to you.
In the last 5 years, it's just coming up and I'm recalling it.
So real quick, do you think that person that took you there, do you think he was a guide?
Yes.
Okay. So tell me more about the Hall of Records.
Basically, that was all it was. It was him showing me about everybody's existence that has a record of everyone's existence. And that's where we get information. And I think sometimes if you're in a meditation and you go somewhere higher, you're probably going into that kind of realm where they'll give you the information, you know, when you're seeking answers.
Do you think that, like, because everybody has their own like book or whatever, own area of knowledge,
yes.
You know, we don't just incarnate on Earth. We incarnate in so many different planets, don't you think? Or do you think, do we even incarnate in other realms, even like on other like levels of heaven? Do you think we do that too?
Yes. So this is what I used to believe when I was young, because of what I'd read. I used to think we have this soul that comes into our body and it lives a life, and then the life dies and the soul goes back, and then the soul works out what lessons did I learn from that life or whatever, and then it comes back again. And I used to think it was the same soul. What I learned through that experience was, I was trying to think of an analogy that to sort of help people understand. So let's put it this way. Let's say you've got sand all over the beach and there's beaches all over the world. Let's say there's a scoop of sand and that's like energy. And that goes into a body and it experiences a life, and the human part of that person gets to choose what they want to experience, and the soul just takes it all. Learns from it. When that life's finished, that soul goes back. So the sand goes back into where it came from. And you can't find it again. If you scooped out a lump of sand and took it away and then went back to the beach and put it back in the sand, you couldn't find that again.
Right. It's almost like, you know, I've heard we have like a higher self on the other side and we're like fragments of that higher self. And then there's Vicky and there's Leslie. But Vicky could also be a man in the 1400s, or Vicky could also be a child in the future, because it's all happening at once. Is that fair to say?
Well, it's kind of like the energy that is inside of me would know the energy that's inside of you if we came from the same level. So let's, like the beach analogy, there's beaches all over the world. So if all these souls came from a beach that was in my area and they returned to that area, they all know each other. But they're still part of something much bigger. It's like levels. And I did a video of this recently where if you imagine a pyramid shape and you've got the very top pinnacle, which is God's source energy. And as it comes down, the higher parts are where angels are, where entities are that are like extremely high. And as it moves down, and then the base of this pyramid shape, which is a lot bigger, is full of like very new souls. So if you've lived, if your soul has come from this space, gone into a human body, gone back again like 1,000 times, you're going to be a lot higher up in these levels. So when you do come back, you retain that knowledge, and that's when kids are born. They just know that they're going to be a concert pianist, or they know they're going to be a great artist. Oh, they've come with a great intention already, because they've already done all the hard stuff from other lifetimes.
Yeah. Because when you say new soul, does that mean like you've only incarnated a certain amount of times on this realm or even anywhere? Is that okay?
Yeah. And most of those people are walking around going, oh, I don't know what I'm here for. I'm clueless. I don't even know if I've got a purpose. You know, right. You hear those people.
But you know, is it true though that, I mean, I think we're all the souls are the same age. I think it's just a matter of, have you experienced the life in a body? Do you know what I'm saying? And that's kind of a new soul, old soul, because we're all spirit. We're not really souls. We're only souls within our bodies. Okay.
It's all one big thing, like the sand on a beach. It's all together.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit comes away, experiences life, and it goes back and just melds back into what it came from.
I have never heard it described that way. Wow. I love that. I mean, I think that's very true. And it's a good perception of how it works.
Yeah, I learned that. So when a medium is tapping into somebody that's passed over, there is a residual energy that is like a ball of energy that is left there of that life, which is like tapping into the book of that person.
Okay.
So there's two different things you can tap into. A medium can tap into the record, which then picks up the personality that that person created and all the things they did in life, if they were a school teacher, if they loved to do volunteer work, you know, the characteristics of that person.
Okay.
And that's contained in that record, which a medium is tapping into. But the actual soul has melded back into the level that it came from and doesn't need to give you any advice. Because, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, I'd love to hear from my dad, you know, and what advice would he give me?
Yeah.
His soul doesn't need to give you any advice. His soul is in such a higher consciousness, it allows you to go through the life you have to go through. He's not going to interfere in that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you tap into the residual energy of the character that he was, then you're picking up, what would he say if he was alive?
Okay.
You got it?
I do have it. What? I mean, but anything's possible because, you know, I don't know if you know, I can talk to my dad now. And my mom said, you know, your dad is here too, but he's not where I am. And
because he would be on a different level.
Exactly. And she said, I can go to him, but he can't come to me. And of course, I found out that he was very abusive. And I think he was still connected to his human for a while, because I think that's just their own self-penance. It's not because God did it or source did it. It was his own choice that he put himself in solitary confinement. And that was the closest thing he could choose to show me where he was without it really being like that in real life, you know. And he said, the fact that you're talking to me will get me out of here. And I said, well, do you feel God? And he goes, oh, I feel him all around me. This is my choice.
Yeah.
And but he did. He decided once we got through some things, and I don't want to get into that. Most of my listeners know what happened. He decided to absorb back into the light. And maybe that is the big beach of sand.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I don't know if everybody wants to necessarily not go to their higher self. I think that's a different thing, don't you?
Exactly. Well, it's the same as people here. You've got a choice. Let's say you're an alcoholic and you've got a choice to get off alcohol.
Yeah.
But you choose not to.
Yeah.
If the soul has learnt that behavior from being in a human, they retain that knowledge. The soul is in the human body to learn emotions and to learn how a human thinks. So if a human is doing toxic behavior, or if they're a narcissistic type behavior, if the human created that, the soul takes that as knowledge and retains it.
Right.
This is what I learned in this existence. So it's if you tap into that as a medium or someone who's tapping in, you're still going to tap into what they were like while they were alive.
Because I do think we come here to say, I want to know what it's like to, and we talked about this, to maybe be a jerk. I want to know what it's like to be the bad guy. I want to know what it's like to be the good guy. I want to know what it's like to be a man or a woman or a child or someone who doesn't make it through all the way of a pregnancy or whatever it is. Because that is knowledge for that soul or for the collective, right?
Yes, because energy on its own can't experience that. It has to use the human body.
Wow, that is so true, because energy can't do that on its own. It's got to have the consciousness to it too.
The human body with the human brain to be able to experience that.
Wow, because otherwise it would just be like a door or a knob or you know, a desk, because that's all energy too. You have to have the extra consciousness to be able to understand. Oh my
God. So the human body feels the solid stuff, and we experience touching things, or we experience touching snow.
Right.
We experience the sun on our face. The soul on its own can't feel that. It feels it in a totally different way, because the sun is energy, the soul is energy. So it'd just be different.
And that's why we come down here, because we want the contrast. People are like, oh my gosh, I would never want to do this again. And I'm like, yeah, no, in your perfect state in the afterlife as a spirit or whatever you want to call it, we're like, yeah, you'd want to experience it. Don't say it's your last life. You don't know that, because you know what? It gets...
That's the ego saying it's my last life.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm thinking, because I think we all want to evolve. I think we all want that contrast of knowing what it feels like to be held, what it feels like to be kissed, what it feels like to take your first taste of ice cream or whatever it is. Yeah. We miss those things, you know?
Yeah, and we have to experience the opposite end of the stick, I call it. I've known this and said it for a long time, and it was confirmed to me during my experience that if I took somebody else's life, my soul decides to come and have my life taken. So I've experienced the opposite end of the stick.
Wow.
If I stole money from people, I come back and have stuff stolen from me, taken from me. So I experience what it is in an emotional way, what it feels like to take and then have it taken from me.
It's almost like we set up these lives so we can keep coming back to experience it all.
Yeah, and once we've probably experienced all opposite ends of the stick, we don't have to keep coming back. The soul has moved into that higher place where it doesn't need to come back as a human anymore. It's got so much wisdom.
Do you think that's when we come back as guides or those kinds of things?
Yeah, well, they don't come back. They just...
Well, that's what I mean.
They just help guide other people through their human experience.
That is so true. Listen, you're saying a lot of the things that I feel like in my soul... I believe this. I mean, this is just, and I've known a lot of these concepts, but you say some things in such a way, I'm like, wow, I didn't even think of it like that. That's crazy. Yeah. Now, some people, Vicki, say, well, I died, and I've had two people tell me, I had a near-death experience. I literally died on the table, and I went nowhere and felt nothing.
Did they really die, or were they just still, were they in their body? Did those people say they stepped out of their body?
Well, and my thing is, they didn't feel anything, but I think you weren't supposed to experience that. I think that was something that, you know, regardless of how it's supposed to happen for people that die and have an experience like you did, or that die and maybe just weren't gone. I don't think it's a time thing. I don't think you're gone long enough. I just think it's one of those things where you weren't supposed to experience a near death. Yeah. That wasn't supposed to impact you like it does other people.
Yeah. I don't know. If you listen to lots and lots of stories of near death where people have stepped out of their body, there's a whole picture going on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I've also heard people say, oh, well, I feel like I was in this black void, but it felt good. It felt okay. The void was lovely and I felt comfortable and I felt safe.
I also feel like we go through what we need to go through.
Exactly.
I remember when I finished my experience and I was like back home again from hospital, the lady that was my tutor sort of thing when I was young, and she took meditation classes and she was the one that guided, helped it bring out my abilities. She was 20 years older than me.
Yeah.
She rang me, like as soon as I got home, she rang me to see how I was.
Yeah.
And she had also had a near-death experience from having a heart attack.
Oh, wow.
And she just said to me, all she said to me was, isn't it the most beautiful place? Isn't it the most beautiful? And I said, yes. And she said, you know why it happens? And I said, why? She said, it was to correct things that you thought you knew, but you were getting it wrong. She said, because you're going into teaching and you have to teach correctly. And she said, the same thing happened to me. She said, I had a heart attack and I had this near-death experience and I was recorrected or redirected that you weren't teaching something correctly.
Yes, because, you know, a lot of people think, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to see whatever religion they are. I'm going to see Buddha, or I'm going to see Jesus, or I'm going to see whoever. And you might, because that's what you felt in life. But the thing is, there really truly is no religion there.
Let me show you what is familiar to you so that you believe it.
Exactly. But there isn't any religion, because I have heard from other people saying, there's no judgment.
No judgment.
No matter what you do in this life, it really makes no difference. And I don't mean to make it less important to us as humans, but on the other side, it doesn't really matter, because you're probably going to go back and do other things and experience other things. And whether you made a good example for people or you made a bad example, everybody learns from it.
Exactly. Well, what if there's a level up there, that part of it breaks away and it comes into a body that's born into a family that has Christian belief, lives that lifestyle, understands that, returns back to that level. Part of that level, again, breaks away, comes into a family that believes in Buddhism. Yeah. So what if there's a whole level up there where all those souls have come into bodies specifically to understand every type of religion in every incarnation?
Yes, because I do think there's a lot of good that comes from religion. I'm not specifically any religious affiliation, but I'm very spiritual and I do believe in a Christ consciousness awareness of love everyone, feed everyone, and house everyone, do what you can for others. But you know, with certain religions it doesn't really do that, so you wonder about people that are not necessarily great at that, you know.
But that's their souls getting that experience.
Exactly. It's like, I need to know what it's like to be this kind of person. And just like my own father, and I don't know if it's always something you decide. I think sometimes people just derail. Do you think that's true too?
Absolutely. Well, I made a whole video the other day just about when you're born, there's nothing in your brain.
Right.
Your brain's, it's a clean slate. So all you're concerned about as a baby is food. To get fed,
comfort,
and you'll cry. You know how to cry, and you wait for food, and you just want to be obviously loved and kept warm.
Right.
But you trust that that will be provided for you. And as you, I think it's up until the age of two, you're just learning the basic needs. And from two onwards, you're starting to absorb what you see your parents doing and how your parents speak. And you start absorbing that. And then you go to school and you absorb what you're taught at school and you watch television, and it all becomes a programming, and you take the bits that feel good for you and it forms a belief system.
Right.
And today you have a belief system that you created for yourself.
Exactly.
So why does it make it right?
No, that's so true. Why does it make it right or wrong, you know?
It's not right or wrong. It's just your belief system.
Yeah.
So you look at everybody else that's got a belief system. How did they get to that?
Mm.
Same thing. They grew up taking beliefs, you know, and as you know, from however your parents are with you, is if you have a need, you find a way to get that need.
Yeah.
Whether it's a good way or a bad way. If you do bad things to get attention, you got the attention you needed. You do good things to get attention. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You're just wanting the attention.
Yeah. It's so true. Now, let me ask you this though, Vicky, and I don't think I've ever asked you this. What are your thoughts on alien life? Because I really believe they're all around us. Do you think that they're impacting anything? Do you think that they're helping us? I think they might be helping us not destroy the earth with nuclear bombs, but like, do you think that they're here to help us? Do you think we're hybrids? Tell me what you think about them.
Well, I've had a couple of experiences where I've encountered them. Like, this was years ago. I was only in my 30s, I think, and I heard this hovering sound above my roof.
Wow.
I thought it was a helicopter. And then when I opened my eyes, and then I thought, no, it's not a helicopter. And I instantly telepathically knew it was some energy form that was not of human form.
Oh, wow.
And I don't recall if I may have got a message at the time. I don't recall now. It just felt like they were just, there was no fear.
Yeah.
It was just like they were just communicating. And then another time, it was in the house that I'm in now. It's about 8 years ago. I was just cooking tea and I happened to look up and there were seven blue beings standing in my living room, just looking at me in a group, in a huddled group.
I mean, what?
Looking at me. And they were the blue ones. They just call them the blue people. And after they came, you freeze for a moment.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't know how long you've been frozen for because time is irrelevant.
Yeah,
and they transfer messages to you. It's all telepathy.
Wow.
They don't speak. And since then, I've had lots of encounters with the blue people. Like I've had woken up and... Yeah, I had this one time. I woke up from a deep sleep and at the end of my bed was the biggest being I have ever seen. And she had a really tall headpiece on, like some kind of empress or something.
Really?
She was not human looking and she just stood at the end of my bed. Again, it's telepathy. They just, so I do believe they are, I don't call them aliens. They're just intelligences on a different plane. And if you are open enough in your own mind, they'll come to you or you can connect with them.
Wow. Do you think that they are like cloaking their ships or whatever? Do you think they're just on a different dimension? We don't see it. And also, do you think that they may live in the oceans?
Well, from when I died and I could be absolutely everywhere, yes. That's what their energy's like. They're everywhere. They could be in the oceans. They're in the skies.
Okay.
You know when you're, I don't know if it's like if you're daydreaming or if you're driving a car and then you get somewhere and you think, how did I just get here? Because you haven't been thinking. You know when you're in that space?
Yes.
That's where they are. Like they're in that space. So that's quite often where someone will see them because you raised your vibration to that point of, getting out of the humanness and you're in just in their space. Well, they're all around, moving all around. So that's where you'll see them.
Oh my, I never even thought about that because it's so true. I'll be like driving like 20, 30 minutes, an hour or whatever it takes to get to some of the bigger stores because I'm in the country now. And I'll just be like zoned out. And I'm like, I can't believe I'm already here. How did that happen? And it's like, I didn't even think that I was maybe in their space. That's amazing.
Yeah, which is quite often a lot of people see them when they're driving.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Vicky, my goodness, girl, you are like blowing me away today. So also you had somebody ask you some questions because I know you do like readings in person. Well, not in person, but you do readings online, but you also do like email readings and stuff. Somebody sent you a list of questions or something and you had a hard time zoning in. Tell me about that.
Yes, she was from America. Okay. All my readings are done via email because I can do them in my own time. I don't need someone in my house. Okay. Energy, I can feel your energy wherever you are in the world. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
All I have is a photo of somebody. So I look at the photo and I connect with their energy. So she bought a 3-question reading. She sent her photo. Sent me the 3 questions.
Yeah.
Every time I first get a reading and I look at the questions before I reply to say when they're going to get their reading back, I just go through the questions and think, yep, I can do them. No worries.
Yeah.
And I looked at her questions and I instantly got this, they were logical questions, but there was a funny feeling.
Yeah.
So I put a name on the list and I work through readings, you know, as I get them through a list. And I got to her reading and I was sat down and all I do is I sit at my computer and I shut my eyes and I do this little where I'm moving energy. I move energy through myself and through the person I'm reading. So we got a circle going.
Okay.
And that and it's like I'm transferring information.
Nice.
So I did it with her photo and I've got this circle going and I looked at her first question and I looked at the question and I looked at the question and I'm like, nope, nothing.
Wow.
And it wasn't a stupid question. It was something similar to what does my higher self need to know or what would I have to do to improve my life? It was that kind of question. Okay. It wasn't silly.
Yeah.
But I kept looking at it. I'm like, no, I can't get anything. So I got up and I walked away and I had a drink of water because sometimes – I just can't get, some people are closed off, you know,
right.
And it's hard to read their energy. So I walked away, I came back, sat down again, looked at her again, looked at the question. I read that question over and over and over and there was this nothingness.
Yeah.
I couldn't even get a feeling and I thought, no, I'm going to have to contact her. So I wrote back to her and I said, I'm really sorry. I don't know if it's me, if it's you, if you're not giving me any energy, but those questions you asked me, I can't get an answer with them, nothing.
Yeah.
So she wrote back, she said, look, I must apologize. I used ChatGPT to ask you the questions.
Oh, my God.
So I'm connecting to the essence of the energy that's sitting behind a question.
Yeah.
You know, if someone writes to me and they say, if someone had written the words coming from their heart to say, I'm a bit lost at the moment, what could I do in my life to make it better?
Yeah.
I would have got an answer. But she just, it was a computer.
Mm.
It was a computer giving me a question. That's why I had a nothingness.
That's exactly.
I thought, this is so interesting because as much as ChatGPT wants to come in and AI wants to come into our lives, it cannot replace human-to-human energy.
That is fascinating. I am blown away at this knowledge because I would love to talk to other people to see if they've had the same experience because this totally resonates with me because it's truly true. When she had something else ask questions, there's none of her in that. None of her was in that.
Yeah.
No, none of her was in that. None of her energy was in the essence of the question.
Wow. Girl.
So I couldn't read it.
Well, yeah. Well, no wonder you couldn't read it. And I'm so glad she figured that out because some people may say, well, that was a good question. I don't know why you can't read it, you know, but she knew. She knew.
She didn't write it. And then she changed her 3 questions coming from herself. And I did the reading and she said, thank you so much. That was amazing. So
right.
It was not a problem with her and it wasn't a problem with me. It was that interference of a computer system that didn't have any human energy about it.
Wow. And don't get me wrong, I think ChatGPT, for a lot of reasons, is really good. And I think it's helpful for people and all of the things. However, this is an example of, guys, we still need our energy, yes, our input, our humanness.
Human-to-human connection, yes, with a lot of things.
Wow. I'm blown away. I'm blown away at this. I'm so glad you came back. So now, when you do these readings, I know you can do the email ones. Do you also do like psychic medium readings? What do you do for people?
I do either a question where someone might just have one question, and it's usually about their love life, or, you know, is their house going to sell, their business going to sell, a question like that.
Yeah.
And then I have 3 question readings or 6 question readings.
Okay.
So that you're just asking me specific questions. Then I do ones that are just prediction, just straight out predictions, which they leave it open. So they just send me the photo. And I do need to know, because I'm seeing a vision and I need to know how it could possibly fit into your life. So I do ask people just to tell me a really brief description. So they'll write something like, I'm married, I've got 2 kids, I've got 2 grandchildren.
Yeah.
And I don't work, my husband works, that's it. That's it's only very brief.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I get this picture of their life now, so that when I see a vision, it makes sense how it's going to fit into their life.
Nice.
Can you imagine if you just closed your eyes and you were thinking of me, mm-hmm, and you saw a vision? And then you've got to somehow try to tell me how that would fit into my future without knowing anything about my life.
Sure. Like,
yeah, no, it makes sense, because, you know, also you get the energy of what they're thinking, how their life is, the other people in their lives. I mean, it's all kind of a joint effort there. So I understand why that would come across as helpful for you.
Yeah. A lot of people think we're mind reading. We're not mind reading.
Right. Yeah. Your energy.
We're reading energy. Mm-hmm. And it's like someone will write to me and go, oh, like my relationship's just broken up. What is my partner thinking?
You're like, I don't know.
I'm not mind reading what they're thinking, but I can feel what their energy is. So I can feel if their energy is upset about it still, or if they've moved on, if they've put a closure. I can feel that in the energy.
Mm. Yeah. Is that something, Vicky, that you gained more knowledge of once you had your near-death experience, or were you always able to do that part?
I was always able to do that part.
Okay.
Because I do this, this is a full-time job for me. It's not a part-time thing.
Yeah.
And I remember years ago I went to the doctor for something totally unrelated, and it was a really quick consultation. And then the doctor said to me, look, we've still got 5 minutes to kill. And he goes, what do you do for a living? And I said, oh, I'm a clairvoyant. And he goes, oh, that's fascinating, because most doctors like poo-poo that, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he said, that's fascinating. He said, last night I was studying the brain and the pineal gland where intuition is held. And then he looks at me and he goes, if you did this every day and you were in a meditated state every day, your pineal gland would expand to such a point when you were an old person, you wouldn't have to communicate with anyone. You'd just know what they were thinking.
Right.
And that to me is, because I do this all day, every day.
Yeah, yeah.
It just is so natural to me to, I just blurt stuff out without even thinking, and then someone looks at me and goes, how did you know that's what I needed to know?
Well, see, and that's the thing, you know, especially when you use it, you're going to get better. It's kind of like with writing or anything else. You do it often enough, or as long as you do it enough, you're going to get really good at it, you know.
It's
just
like if you go to the gym and you want a toned body, if you went once a year, it's not going to do anything. If
right.
you went once a month, yeah, it's better than nothing. If you went once a week, you're going to see results.
Right, right.
If you meditate once a year, nothing will change. If you meditate once every month, it's a bit better. If you meditate once every week or daily, your life will get so much better.
Mm. I tell you, and girl, I go to the Healing Temple all the time and I believe in it. And I'm telling you, I feel so much better just doing that for myself, just emotionally and physically and anything else that might be, you know, clouding me or whatever. I just say, Mom, let's go. I just wrap myself with white light and I believe in it. And I'm telling you, I feel fantastic all the time now.
Yeah, because you've expanded that part of your energy.
I encourage everyone. I mean, I know, like I said, you have to believe in it and all the things, because I do think there's a placebo maybe effect there too, but placebos have been proven to work too.
Yeah, of course they have.
Yeah.
I write on my page the other day that they did not believe in an afterlife and they didn't believe in souls. They just think our brain, our thought pattern, our belief system is what creates what happens when we die. And I'm like, well, if your brain is dead, if your physical brain is dead, what are we using?
Exactly. Exactly.
there's something more there. The body stopped breathing, the heart stopped, the brain has stopped working, and I'm still in another place. You know, and they are connecting with people that are alive. How is that happening if there is nothing?
Well, and you were able to prove it when you were like, I knew what the doctor that was working on me, I knew his entire family, and he cooperated with that. He was like, yeah, that's my family. And the nurse that you encountered in the same room, I think you told her too, and she was like, yep, that's what I do, and that's why I'm here. I mean, to me, that's proof. And to the people that don't believe it, that's okay. They're not here to learn that. They came here wanting to be disconnected from knowing those things, right?
Exactly. Yeah. The other day I was connecting with a lady had lost her partner a few years ago, and every 6 months she just wants a message from him.
Yeah.
Or she just wants me to see what they don't really want to give messages. It's more like they can see what's coming in your life. So my readings will be when I'm connecting with someone who's passed over, they'll show me what you've got coming up next because I've already seen it.
Okay.
And I saw he was showing me a Mickey Mouse with the white gloves. The white gloves were specific. You know how Mickey Mouse had those white gloves on?
Yeah.
And I said, I have no idea why he's showing me that, but it just seems important.
Yeah.
And that was the very end of the reading, right? And then I finished and said goodbye.
Yeah.
And she wrote back to me. She sent me a photo. She said, I picked up the reading and I was reading it while I was drinking a coffee. And my coffee mug is Minnie Mouse. And on the back of it is two hands with white gloves.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
This guy, the guy that I'm connecting with, was just acknowledging to her that he's right there with her, knowing that she's got something in her hands with a Mickey or Minnie Mouse thing with white gloves on.
And if that doesn't prove it, though, if that doesn't prove it, I mean, that's the thing. And you can prove it over and over and over again. I'm telling you, guys, if you want a reading with Vicky, I'm going to add all of her information on my show notes because, Vicky, I'm telling you, I could have you on every year and we'd have something fun to talk about because you are blowing my mind away today. I'm telling you.
It's so good to talk and just share, you know. It's how we get more open-minded.
Well, and you do. You have to, you know, we can't put any of this in the box. We've talked about that many times and I think almost anything is possible. And you are an absolute delight. You're really kind of becoming one of my friends and I just adore you and I can't thank you enough for being on the podcast.
I've loved it. Absolutely love being on here.
Well, I love providing Because I Want to Know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again and I will see you next week.